Hey parents, we all know summer break is for fun, but it's also a time when kids can start losing some of the progress they made during the school year. We want them to stay engaged and keep those young minds active. Between camps, vacations, and family time, it can be tough to keep a learning routine going. That's why I want to tell you about IXL. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. From pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's an easy way to keep learning going through the summer and helps kids feel confident heading into the next school year. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. And get this, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. That's a huge endorsement. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLlearning.com/audio. Visit IXLlearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Joining us right now, one of the voices of the New York Yankees. I think he's done a very good job. I don't know if you agree with me, T.D.
Absolutely. I tell him every time that I see him.
Don't tell him too much. You don't want it to get to his head.
I want it to get to his head.
Do you want it to be cocky?
Because cocky broadcasters are the best ones.
I guess you're right. Emmanuel Barbari. Emmanuel, how are you, sir?
I'm good. And you guys could say if I'm doing a bad job. Like, that's okay. Just because I'm here, I appreciate
that. Your voice is too silky smooth to do a bad job. Even if you mess up, it sounds great.
I could say anything. I could misdescribe anything. It doesn't matter.
I will say that I love some of the bullpen big outs.
Right.
And you do some kind of thing. Well, give me one example. I already forgot. There was
It started with Now We're Tonkin.
Yes.
Now we're Tonkin. I love that. My advice would be don't listen to Sean.
Right. Sean's feeding me some ideas. So
and
I gotta,
some of his are terrible.
I can't take 100% of them or else, you know.
Or just take his ideas and craft them into your own and then don't give him credit.
Right.
That's the way
he's a starting point.
Exactly.
And then I got to build on those.
Oh, ideas. You know what my favorite one was? Dreamweaver. He's a dream weaver.
Right, right.
I like that one.
But the thing is, you can only do it on big outs. Like, if they're down 7-2 and Weaver's in the game just getting some work in, you can't say he's a dream weaver. That sounds out of place
100%
in that spot.
I think you could do it with starters, too, after they get a big out as well, by the way.
Yeah,
I think you could definitely do that.
A little nest egg.
Yeah. But he needs the stick with just the relievers.
No, I don't think
if you do it with everybody, it's like, Emmanuel, stop, Emmanuel. You're getting corny.
Listen,
stop.
I completely
disagree.
You don't
want people rolling their eyes on
you. Exactly right.
No, let me give you an example. And you obviously, it's your decision, okay? You can think I'm an idiot. Most people do. Gerrit Cole tomorrow night facing the Mets. Mets have a big opportunity in the fifth inning. Bases loaded, one out. It's a 1-1 game. We're about to break through against Gerrit Cole. We is because I'm a Mets fan.
Right.
And Cole strikes out J.D. Martinez and Pete Alonso back-to-back. I think that warrants a Garrett just gave Pete Alonso Cole for Christmas.
I like it.
You like that one?
I like it. Or you could weave in some Coltrane situation because you're in the midst of the Subway Series. But I agree with Tiki. Limiting it to relievers might be the way to go.
Listen to me. So how have you found it? I mean, this is obviously your first year doing this on a semi-regular basis. How have you found it? Has it been fun and fulfilling as you thought it was going to be?
It's been a really fun ride. And it's funny, it goes by quickly because now we got, 60 games to go. So it's actually remarkable how quickly it's gone by. But yeah, definitely a dream situation as somebody who grew up a Yankee fan.
Yeah,
that goes without saying.
How did it come about? Like, how did this first happen for you?
I think starting with the post-game shows last year and then filling in on a series with Justin in Pittsburgh at the end of last year, now started that conversation. We were each supposed to take 25 games for John entering this year. And then once he retired a couple of weeks into the season, then it naturally became you're part of that mix, part of that rotation. So stemming from last year, just lucky enough that
I'm
still here.
I mean, that's opportunity.
Right.
It happens. Opportunity gets created. You're ready for it. That's essentially what it comes down to.
Yeah, and then trying to seize that opportunity the best that you can.
Yeah.
It sounds cliche, but...
All right. Have they talked to you about what the future holds at
all? No. None of us know. no one in this room knows, but we're just trying to take it another cliche day by day.
That's all you can do.
We'll see where it leads. Yeah.
How often does Susan Waldman reference a Sean Morash Cinco de Fivo? Once a week, twice a week, or never?
Never. I don't think I've ever heard a Cinco de Fivo reference. We did hop on the Bridge Show with Tommy Lugar once to talk about.
I remember
about,
that. What are you talking about? Chickens?
Yeah, we were talking about the condiment race in Kansas City, mustard, relish, and was it ketchup? And I happen to not like mustard whatsoever, so we
well, there's something wrong with you about
right.
that, by the
I
way.
Remember it being described as vile. I happened to be listening to that while I was walking my dog.
It is vile.
And I wrote Evan immediately.
Yeah, we broke that down on
Emmanuel said mustard is vile. We must talk about this.
Yeah, but it was nice to debate that with Lou Gower. We were in the Kansas City booth and talking to Tommy on the Bridge Show, which I never thought would happen.
Neither did he, by the way.
But it happened, so it was fun. We roll with it.
That wasn't a knock at you, Tommy.
No, it's a compliment. Has, because this is the million-dollar question, and I do not know the answer, has Susan said anything about the upcoming broadcast in a few weeks with my former radio partner?
I think she's looking forward to it.
Okay. Is that a quote?
I think both of them are high-level entertainers, so you pair that together, you marry that together, and I'm looking forward to listening. I'm going to be doing post-game. I'm going to be back at the booth, like, trying to hang on every word.
Be ready to step in.
Right? Yeah, exactly. That's one piece of advice I was given. Be ready to step in on a moment's notice. Yeah.
Never
at
know.
Any time.
Now, what do you think about this current team right now? They got off to another incredible start, and then it seems like everything has gone wrong. We've spent so much time on the radio talking about they got to be better at this, they got to be better at that, when the reality is their starting pitching's been bad, their offense hasn't been good enough. They're making a ton of errors. It's been an extended run. I've been on the side of they're not this bad, they'll be fine. Watching this team every day, what's your feeling on the state of the team right now?
I have a tough time believing that the first 2 months plus was some sort of fluke or aberration. So even though this is an extended bad stretch, like we're not talking about 10 bad games or 20 bad games. We're talking about a month plus where they played some bad baseball at times. But I look at the first couple of months when everything was firing on all cylinders. I circled back to that and I said, that was a special feeling. Like, that was a special vibe early in the year. And I think a lot of it came down to the starting pitching, and there were no blow-ups in those first couple of months. Everyone was pitching remarkably.
Yeah.
And that's fallen apart in ways the last few weeks, but we've started to see Cole come back and find his footing. Now you see Luis Gil tonight. He started to look better again. We'll see about the innings and how long this is sustained for the rest of the year. I can't discard those first 2 months. I think it's somewhere in between, but they will add something. And they have to add something because I think they know if you just stand pat and then things don't go your way at the end of the year,
you're
going to deal with some level of regret.
And when you say add something, you mean starting pitching maybe.
Maybe, but who are you replacing in this rotation?
Hey, parents, we all know summer break is for fun, but it's also a time when kids can start losing some of the progress they made during the school year. We want them to stay engaged and keep those young minds active. Between camps, vacations, and family time, it can be tough to keep a learning routine going. That's why I want to tell you about IXL. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. From pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's an easy way to keep learning going through the summer and helps kids feel confident heading into the next school year. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. And get this, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. That's a huge endorsement. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Nestor, I know what you're saying.
That's the hard thing that I can't really reconcile now is who you're replacing in the starting rotation. Bullpen, you can sell me on, okay, you need a couple of swing and miss arms. Lineup, you need an extra bat. I understand that. Stanton's coming back. But the rotation, you could stockpile some depth, but there's some names in this rotation.
By the way, I'll answer that question this way because I tend to agree with your overall argument, which is if I'm making a list of what the Yankees need to add, Everybody could use starting pitching. Look what's going on with the Mets right now with Christian Scott going down. You never know when injury is going to occur. So I can't say you couldn't use starting pitching, but that would not top my list. It would be adding a guy who could play third base, a middle infielder. It'd be another bullpen arm. But I want to answer your question. Okay, you added a starter. Who do you replace? I think it depends on who the starter is. If they went out and made a big trade for Tarik Skubal, who to me is, it's not even close. He's the best starter available. I put him way over Garrett Crochet, who I know is getting a lot of hype. If you acquired Skubal, then I think you are looking seriously at either Luis Gil or Clark Schmidt going to the bullpen and basically thinking, you know what, I'm going to fix my bullpen by adding this upgrade in the rotation and then taking the innings kind of strain on
limited,
heel,
right.
Making him a weapon out of the bullpen. Clark is coming back from an injury anyway.
Right.
Maybe it behooves him. So, but if it's anyone in the mediocre category, then you're right. Because then I'm with you. Like, who are you replacing?
It doesn't make sense. Well, if you're going to do that, you might as well just put that guy in the bullpen.
That's more of what I mean. If it's going to be a middling starting pitcher, there's no use for that right
now. But I don't think that the Yankees are in a position to do middling.
No.
Like, if they're going to do anything, it's got to be swinging.
Earth shattering. What we're going for at all this year. Like, if they got Corbin Burns in the offseason, that type of move. You need a top-end starter. Then you could part with somebody in the rotation. And I think Schmidt's a good call because I think they want Luis Gil in this rotation if they had their ideal world.
Well, if he's going to pitch the way he's pitched for the most part, I would want him in too.
Yeah, exactly. And they'll try to manage the inning situation and make sure he's fresh. But Schmidt is just building back up. So you project that. What are we looking at, September maybe?
Right.
That's more of a realistic bullpen option now than I think even Luis Gil, which people have talked about all season, put him in the bullpen. I don't think they want anything to do with that. If in their ideal world, Gil is starting game two or three of a postseason series.
That's why, and you said this earlier, Tiki, I respectfully disagree, the idea that starter would top my list, it doesn't. Like, what tops my list is a guy that could play third base because at some point you're going to make a decision on DJ LeMahieu and say, I can't play him every
day.
Don't
seem committed. They just don't feel committed to finding a replacement for DJ.
Oh, they will. Don't. I think they will, by the way. I think before next week, they are adding somebody. Now, maybe it's Luis Renjifo who's coming back from the IL today. Maybe it's a Matt Chapman. I'm just throwing some names at you. But I would predict that within a week, they're adding a capable, everyday major league infielder that could force either DJ or Gleyber to the bench.
I'm fascinated by this because LeMahieu, are you just making him a bench player? I understand the production hasn't been there, but you're looking at 2 years left beyond this year on the contract. So I understand that that's likely to happen. They're going to bring in infield help. They're going to bring in a bat. Where does DJ go? I think that's something I'm really interested in.
But if you're trying to win, you can't worry about the money. Right, you know what I mean? You can't worry about the contract complication.
By the way, the answer to that question is remember back to when they initially signed him. All the way back. He was supposed to be an everyday utility player. And I think on this team, as long as Ben Rice is the first baseman, who, by the way, is sitting today against the lefty, Gleyber Torres is up and down, I think DJ LeMahieu could still play a lot. It's just not guaranteed at the same position every day. And so that's why if it's Renjifo or it's Chapman, those are two names I'll bring up. I'll tell you another guy who I'd be intrigued by. He's having a terrible season. But we know he can handle New York, and I could see him being rejuvenated by coming back to New York. And this would pain me, so I'm being honest, is Wilmer Flores. I think Wilmer Flores would be a great fit for the Yankees.
Never heard that one yet.
You like Wilmer
that one? Wilmer in the pinstripes. Wow, I'm starting to envision that right now.
But think about it. Like, he can play third base. He can play first base. He hits left-handed pitching. Now, I warn you guys, before anybody goes on Baseball Reference while they're sitting in traffic, I know he's having a crappy season. I know this. But sometimes you trade for guys like that with the thought being, you know what? I get him in a pennant race. Right. I get him back to New York. Look at his numbers last year. If he gave you his numbers from last year, you'd be thrilled.
He'd be a hero.
He'd be a hero.
He would.
800 OPS, I think.
He'd be batting fifth or sixth for this team
right
now. He'd
bat cleanup.
maybe cleanup. We're seeing J.D. Davis back.
You grew up a Yankee fan?
I did.
So you have in your mind like the recent history. I won't say the institutional history because you're not that old, but you have the recent history of the Yankees in your mind.
Like this makes me sound really young, but the 09 championship, like I can chapter and verse give you everything about that team, and that's what captured my fandom in my youth was watching that 09 team win, and then of course recent years too, but not to the level of 09.
That is the statement that makes me feel old.
That's right.
It's like the dynasty.
How old are you?
I'll be 25 in a week.
That makes sense.
25.
But you do the math.
You're literally half my age, man.
It makes sense. So I'm going to do the math real quick. So how old were you in 09, you said?
I was 10 or 11.
10 or 11.
Think about it. Think how impressionable you are
no.
as a young fan watching that team run the table, that team's a powerhouse. All stars at every position. Go to the World Series. That made me. I was already a Yankee fan.
Yeah,
that made me a super Yankee.
So when you watched, what were you doing? Were you? I mean, Evan was.
I was scoring.
You were scoring too.
I was scoring.
That's my guy.
My dad taught me how to score. I'm not just saying this because Evan scores. My dad taught me to score, so I'd print out scorecards every single night. And during the playoffs, I was scoring the games, and then I would cry when they lose, and I would jump up and down when they win.
Now, what did you do with the scorecards? Did you keep them?
I actually saved them. I have a folder at home. I would need to find it somewhere.
Are you ready?
You actually make me worried right now. I got to find that folder. But
well, find
it's there.
It, and I'm going to give you this idea. No copyright.
Make a book.
My Yankees Bible. And you're all set to go.
No copyright?
Nah, it's all yours.
Okay.
I think that could become a series now.
By the way, my Mets Bible is on sale now.
Thank you.
Nice plug.
And Amazon, and also an audiobook.
Yeah, we got an audiobook.
Voiced by Evan himself.
Wow. Do you score? Well, obviously, you're scoring games while you're broadcasting. Do you use the Bob Carpenter book, or is there a different one?
I do, because it gives me a lot of space to do ancillary notes and whatnot. Like, there's that, as you know, there's that blank tab to the top right of the scorecard.
Yeah.
That's where all my game prep goes, pretty much. I have some side stuff, but I love the Bob Carpenter
book. You two scoring nerds are trying to bring scoring back to the mainstream.
Oh, it's coming back.
Is it actually coming back?
If you play a game today, Teak, when you walk around the stadium, catch the amount of people scoring, I guarantee the number will be higher than five.
How many scorebooks do you think are in this Hard Rock Cafe right now?
Oh, not right now. These people are too cool. I'm talking about when we're at the game, when the game is starting.
There's nobody too cool for scoring, and I think if we have a fan of a generation of baseball fans that grows up without that,
yes,
you're not learning the game the right way.
I agree.
In my mind. That's not to shame anybody. You can watch baseball any way you want to watch baseball. But to know the ins and outs of the game and to enjoy it, I think the scorebook is the way to go.
I am with you, man. And I said this in my book. Scoring taught me baseball.
Right.
That's how I learned the game. So
F7 versus whatever.
Yes.
F8, F9.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I'll teach you tonight at the game.
No, you won't.
Yeah,
I'll be having a beer.
He's a real man. All right, Emmanuel. Keep up the great work.
Appreciate it.
We will be critiquing all of your
awesome
reliever
news.
Calls. But you're doing a great job. All right, man.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Emmanuel
Barbari. He is one of the voices of the New York Yankees. They get set to play the Mets tonight, game number one of this brief two-game series.